Danny Smith. Radio Verulam. Hi, this is Danny Smith. Thank you for downloading the West Harts Drive Time podcast. Each and every Friday, we post a new podcast that features the Radio Verulam Film Guide with Simon Carver. And as a special extra treat for those of you who have downloaded this podcast, at the end of the podcast, you will hear a little bit extra from my recent chat with 80s megastar Thomas Dolby. So do stay tuned for that. And in the interview that went out on air this week with Thomas Dolby, we discussed a film that he was in with a woman with a rather large cleavage. Now, off air, we remembered the name of the woman. So if you listen to the end of this podcast, you will hear that lady's name. And if you email danny@radioverulam.com with the name of the female who appeared in that film called Rockula with Thomas Dolby, and the first 10 people to email us will win themselves a CD. So, enjoy the podcast. We hope you do like it. And if you've ever got any comments about the podcast, do feel free to let us know. You can email us, danny@radioverulam.com. So here we are then, it's another edition of the Radio Verulam Film Guide, and Simon Carver is here with me in the studio. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Hi. So, as is usually the case, we're going to start off by looking at the UK cinema box office top 10. And at number 10, we have The Change-Up.
The Change-Up, yeah, two blokes, one successful, one unsuccessful, and it's one of those body swap things, where the successful one becomes the unsuccessful one and vice versa, and you know, they experience each other's lives, and you know,
and stuff happens.
Yeah, stuff happens, but you know, okay, probably not very good.
And at number 9 we've got The Smurfs.
The Smurfs, yeah, this is where a lot of blue people run around, not because it's cold, but just because
they're
Smurfs.
Sad and lonely.
Yeah, or because they're sad and lonely. Yeah, they go from Smurfland into New York. But they're being chased by Gargamel, who is their arch enemy, nemesis.
Mm,
and they end up in New York, and, you know, stuff happens again, really. But it's a children's film, so the fact that stuff happens is... That's okay.
Well, it would be a bit of a slow film if nothing happened, wouldn't it?
It would. It'd but I've seen a few of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be lost in translation.
Yeah. Or The Tree of Life.
Right, okay. Number 8, we have Jane Eyre.
Now, lots of stuff happens in Jane Eyre, and it happens very well.
Right.
It's a good story. Bronte, is this sister
one,
story.
Is this one Darcy or Rochester, or which one's this one?
This is Rochester.
Mr. Rochester, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I struggle to keep up sometimes.
I do, yeah. What with Darcy, Rochester and Heathcliff, it's slightly confusing because Wuthering Heights by one of the other Bronte sisters is coming
Bush.
Out sometime soon, and Kate Bush indeed is coming out soon, but this is Jane Eyre. I think this is Charlotte Bronte, and it's quite a dark sort of story, although interestingly the film is not so much dark as sort of slightly washed out in its visual palette.
Okay.
The expression. I thought it was jolly good. Mr. Rochester was just the right sort of combination of meanness, but you
was
could
he
see
mean
why,
or was he brooding?
Well, I think he was a bit of both, and you could see why Jane was attracted to him, and you could see why he was attracted to her. She wasn't a great oil painting in this film, the actress, whose name is one of those very long, unpronounceable Australian names, not Goolagong, but, you know, one of those Polish immigrant Australian names, and, but she's very spiky and sort of, you know, seems to have got a lot going for him. You could see why he was charmed by her.
Okay.
So, it was very good, very good. Enjoyed
it. That's number 8. Number 7, we have Killer Elite.
Yes, this is a Ranulph Fiennes novel. Mountain Climber Ranulph Fiennes,
yep.
Novel, and it's about a retired special forces man who's played by Jason
Statham,
and he comes out of retirement to try and save his mentor, who is Robert De Niro, from the evil Clive Owen. Now, actually, if you just swap those two round, I could imagine Clive Owen being, well, perhaps not a mentor, he's a bit young to be a mentor, but...
He's too close to Jason Statham's
age
to be a mentor.
But Robert De Niro, I could see him being the evil person. But anyway, that's the way it is.
Or Pacino if De Niro wasn't available.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way it is, and you know, it's good sort of action stuff.
Okay, that's number seven. Number six, we have friends with benefits.
Yeah, this is an expression that some young people use, I understand.
It's one of the cleaner expressions that means the same thing.
Yes, and about friends who have certain aspects of the relationship which goes beyond what people of my generation would call friendship. And it's a sort of sex comedy for the Twilight generation.
Brilliant. We knew we'd get that reference in there somewhere. Okay, that's number six. Number five, drive.
Drive. Yeah, this is... It says it contains strong, gory violence, and it does indeed. And there's also some implied strong crunching violence as well. Well, it's the crunching itself is not implied. You hear it, but you don't actually see what is being crunched.
Right.
And, yeah, it's a, I thought it was a really good film, despite its very strong violence. I'm not a huge fan of violence, but there was a great coolness about it. Ryan Gosling plays this really cool sort of driver, getaway driver, and also a stunt driver in the films. And yeah, he sort of gets on the wrong side of somebody, and so that trouble ensues.
Okay. Number four, we've got the In-Betweeners movie, still hanging in there.
It's doing really well, isn't it? I mean, hanging in at number four is pretty impressive, because it's been out for some weeks now, and, you know, it's a bit like the Harry Potter franchise in the sense that there's not a lot more one can say about it. Bunch of 20-year-olds playing a bunch of teenagers, and doing stuff that teenage boys do, and finding funny what teenage boys find funny. But also older boys as well.
To be fair,
basically,
almost everyone's gone to see it has universally found it quite funny what teenage boys get up to.
Do women find it funny?
Well, I was taken with a woman and she quite enjoyed it.
Right. Well, that's good.
I don't know if she speaks for her whole species, but
no. That was your mum, was it?
It's not the sort of film you take your mum to see, is it?
No, well, I wouldn't have thought so, but you know, you said a female, so I just made the assumption.
Right.
Anyway, carry on.
Number three, Warrior.
Warrior. Warrior is a boxing film with Tom Hardy.
Is it cage fighting or boxing?
That's all the same, isn't it?
I don't think
it
so.
It's the ultimate. Is it UFC?
Yeah, that's cage fighting, isn't it?
Yeah, cage fighting. Just that thing about these 9-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Who were filmed cage fighting. Oh dear.
Outrageous.
I mean, the woman sort of defending them, saying, you know, it's all good, clean fun, putting children in a cage and saying, right, you know, kill the other one.
Yeah, gouge each other's eyeballs out.
Yeah,
please.
Anyway, this is about two brothers who are involved in it, and they have to fight each other, really.
Hmm. Okay, Tom Hardy is one of those brothers who's doing quite well at the moment.
He's a good, very good actor, one of our best young British actors at the moment.
Very good character actor. Yeah. He's popped up in all sorts of things, including the films at number one, but we'll come to
Indeed.
That, won't we? Because
we
at number two, in between one and three, as it seems to be every week, is Crazy Stupid Love.
Yep, Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling again are in this. They star in this. Steve Carell is a man whose wife suddenly says to him, I want a divorce, and he's... you know, hasn't dated for years, and is a bit clueless about anything to do with how he could attract the opposite sex. And Ryan Gosling takes him under his wing and plays another very cool character. And then there are some sort of plot developments, which I have to say I didn't see coming, but I suspect the vast majority of people will have seen it coming a mile off. But I didn't, and it was quite a sort of charming... element happened in it, and I thought it was very good. It was quite funny and touching as well, like the best of these sort of modern comedies are, the sort of Judd Apatow type things, 40-year-old virgin. Steve Carell played that character as well, and there are similarities with this character that he plays, and I think it was good. I didn't go with any great expectations, but I thought it was good.
Right, okay. And at number one we have Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yep. It's only been out a few weeks, but it's all sort of becoming what can you say about it, really, because it has virtually a who's who of British acting talent at the moment, including, as we said, Tom Hardy. It's got Colin Firth. It's got Gary Oldman. It's got John Hurt. It's got
Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's got Mark Strong. It's got Kathy Burke. I mean, now, you know, She's sort of gave up acting a little while ago and has gone on to the sort of camera, but she's really good. I mean, I think she's a very sort of a very good character actor. She plays what I think is supposed to be the head of an Oxford college, which is not necessarily, you wouldn't think, hang on, let's go through our casting list. Who should we choose for the head of Oxford College? Oh, I know, Kathy Burke.
Yeah.
But she's really good and a very warm sort of character. And, yeah, the whole thing is just really brilliant the way it evokes the 1970s when the novel was written and the TV show was filmed as well. So I highly commend it.
Right. OK, well, that's a look at the UK cinema box office top 10 for this week.
Join Danny Smith weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. for West Hearts Drive Time, the stylish way to get home in Hearts. With features including History Focus, a look at the community notice board, local news, weather, the latest travel and traffic, astonishing guests, celebrity birthdays, info bites, and the best music from both today and yesterday. That's West Hearts Drive Time with Danny Smith, exclusively on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam.
So we're back at the second part of the Radio Verulam Film Guide with Simon Carver, and now we look at the new releases in the cinema, starting with Abduction.
Abduction, starring Taylor Lautner.
Right.
And we know where we've seen him, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from that generation.
Twilight, yes. I'm doing that. I don't know what that meant, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting gesture. Yeah, just for the listeners.
Wasn't he one of the werewolves?
He was a werewolf, yeah. For the listeners' benefits, Danny was sort of doing a scratching motion.
It was like a clawing thing.
A clawing motion with his hand. It works very well on radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lily Collins, who I'm... The name doesn't ring any bells.
No.
Alfred Molina, who I think is very good, and Jason Isaacs are in this film called Abduction. When teenager Nathan Harper finds his picture on a missing persons website, it's the start of an identity crisis that rocks his world. When I first read that, I thought it was rocks the world.
Oh, right.
And I was wondering how it rocked the whole world. I thought, well, a very sinister
obviously
thing.
Found a good place to stand.
Yeah. But it rocked his world anyway. So it sees him discover that his parents are not the people he thought, and his quest for answers soon uncovers more than he could ever have imagined. The law, government agents and unknown enemies are soon on his trail, and Abduction follows him every step of the way in this fight for the truth that soon turns into the fight of his life.
Very dramatic stuff. It sounds like an interesting premise, to be honest, but I don't know, I mean...
Yeah, that sort of thing about not being the person that you thought you were and people not recognising you. Now, there was a film a little while ago where a bloke woke up and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, Unknown, with Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Now, did you ever see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Was it worth seeing?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It's
okay,
quite good.
Right,
it was,
that.
If you liked, was it Unknown? No, that was Unknown. What was the other one that he did, where he was like... vicious bloke going into Paris and killing lots of people. Taken.
Yeah,
yep. It was of a similar vein in that, okay, it was set in Europe and it was Liam Neeson
going around duffing up people.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as violent as Taken.
Taken was very... Yeah. I was surprised how violent Taken was.
Yeah, it was very hard-hitting.
Yes.
But quite enjoyable.
But quite enjoyable, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a 12A, so it's not going to be quite so high.
It's just going to be loads of things for teenage girls seeing Taylor Lautner with his shirt off, isn't it?
Yes. It is. It's a sort of, I suppose it's a sort of a Taken for the
Twilight generation. Yeah, it's very
anyway, good. We may be overdoing that, though. Shark Knight 3D is, and I think, I don't normally say when 3D is at the end of something.
Can I just stop you there? Because I reckon I've already seen this. I think I've seen this film loads of times before,
well,
to be honest.
Yeah, it's normally sort of Piranha or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think the fact that it's 3D may add something. I think horror films are one of the sort of genres that 3D really does add something to. It's about a summer weekend that turns into a nightmare. Yeah,
for a group of college students. I've seen this film before.
Hunted by voracious underwater predators. When Sarah visits her family's Louisiana Lake Island cabin with friends, fun in the sun is all that's on the agenda. That's until they discover they have company of the shark-toothed dorsal-finned variety. The lake is teeming with flesh-eating sharks.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
Of course. Yeah. And Shark Knight 3D puts you in the thick of their life-or-death boat ride to safety. But can they stay alive long enough to reach dry land? Now, there's one bit that disappointed me about this.
Just one bit?
Just one bit.
But it lasted 90 minutes.
But it contains one scene of sexual threat, not that bit, but and moderate bloody violence. Now, if you go to see a film that is called Shark Night 3D, I think you'd want it a bit more than moderate.
Yeah, you want to be seeing limbs being ripped from limb to limb, really,
yes. And, you know, clearly this is... although it is a 15, so it must be fairly violent. Mm. But, anywho, there you go. It's 90 minutes long.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing, though. You see, I think these sorts of monster films are all well and good, but I saw one called Rogue, which was absolutely brilliant, which was about a crocodile that was, like, eating people in Australia. And you didn't even see the crocodile until well into maybe the final quarter of the movie.
Okay.
You didn't see it. All you saw was just a bit of splashing, somebody suddenly disappeared, and that was about it. And that was far more terrifying. I could barely look. I bet you with this, it's CGI sharks all over the place.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Did you ever see... Well, you did, obviously, saw Jaws, the original Jaws. I remember seeing it at the cinema. And the biggest fright of all was when they were doing some underwater swimming.
And the head fell out from under the... Yeah.
You were just waiting for the shark to appear.
Yeah.
But then something came, and it was a head. And that was an... That was a very... I mean, that's why Spielberg is Spielberg.
Yeah, right.
It's very good.
Okay.
The Debt stars Helen Mirren and Sam Worthington. Sam Worthington was in... Avatar,
and was he in Clash of the Titans as well?
He might have been, and I think he was in the latest Terminator film.
Oh, the Terminator Salvation.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I think I might be right. It's a powerful story. It says here about a former Mossad agent, Rachel Singer, who attempts to capture a notorious Nazi war criminal known as the Surgeon of Birkenau. However, the secret Israeli mission ends with the surgeon dying on the streets of East Berlin. 30 years on, a man claiming to be the surgeon has reappeared, and Rachel returns to Eastern Europe to uncover the truth. Forced to relive painful memories and traumatic events, Rachel must now confront the consequences of her past. I've seen reviews of this which say it's pretty good. Not fantastic,
right,
and not awful, but pretty good, workmanlike.
Okay. Well, Helen Mirren's normally quite bankable, isn't she?
She is. That's so, one word.
Okay, so anyway, that's The Debt, Certificate 15. Yep. And then the final film we're talking about...
I've Got Your Number. Well, it's not, it's What's Your Number, but that was pretty close.
Okay,
Anna Faris is Ali Darling in What's Your Number, a comedy journey that follows her as she revisits her past partners when a magazine article leads her to believe she'll be alone forever. Aided by hunky neighbour Colin, Chris Evans, not the radio DJ, she tracks him down each and every ex while helping him avoid all of his. Will any of her past dalliances actually be her one true love? Find out in What's Your Number, a wild ride of a rom-com based on the book 20 Times a Lady by Karen Bosnak. Now, this sounds like you don't want to touch it with a barbed pole, do you?
Yeah.
I read two reviews today, and both of them said that it was surprisingly good-natured and charming and funny. As long as you're not expecting, you know, War and Peace, it's actually not bad and quite funny and, you know, quite a nice sort of film to go and see. I give that with no official recommendation from myself, but that is what a couple of reputed journalists have said.
So okay,
there you go.
We'll take a short break there. We'll be back with Simon's look at the films on free to air TV in just a moment.
Community Radio in West Hearts. Radio Verulam.
So we're back then with part three of the Radio Verulam film guide. Short and sweet, these breaks.
Quick.
Yes, because we've only got 5 minutes of the live show left. But of course, we do have a podcast as well. You can listen to that anytime you like. If you go along to iTunes and download it, find us by searching for Radio Verulam. But for now, on to Simon's suggestions for films on free to air TV, starting with.
On tonight, an old favourite, and quite a few old favourites, I'm afraid, this week. But you know, that was the best of the bunch. Goodfellas on at 10 o'clock on ITV4, a 3-hour romp through wise guy territory. Wise Guy was actually the name of the book on which the film was based. We said about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy having this who's who of British acting talent. Well, this was to some extent a who's who of American acting talent at the time. No Al Pacino, but Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, and Ray Liotta were all in this as various levels of wise guy talent in this story, which a lot of people say they reckon is better than The Godfather. I have to say, I think I might be tempted to agree.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, they're kind of different, even though they deal with the same subject matter, because, you know, The Godfather is more about... It's more of a sprawling epic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas this isn't.
This looks at individual characters within the wider thing.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, The Godfather looks at this whole sweep of history of this one family, whereas this looks at a few individuals who are bound up with this lifestyle.
Mm. Okay, so that's tonight, 10 p.m.
10 p.m. ITV4. Tomorrow night Sunday night.
Tonight, nothing worth watching.
Nothing worth watching tomorrow night, or certainly not film wise. Anyway, the new Star Trek film is out. It's a premiere.
Right.
So if you didn't see this at the cinema a couple of years ago, watch it. It's on at 6:30 on Channel 4 on Sunday night. Very good. It's the original Star Trek story, played by different characters: Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Eric Banner, Zoe Saldana, but Lemon Limoy also comes back. He's playing his own father, isn't he?
No, he plays himself.
Oh, he didn't play himself.
Oh, no, because it's one of these time travelling things. He plays himself,
and
he goes back in time to tell his younger self stuff.
Of course,
that's what happened there.
Okay, it's very good, and the beginning of it, I think, is particularly smart.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is very clever because it remains faithful to the old series, but it reinvents it at the same time.
Exactly.
It's
certainly not a sort of next generation type of thing. It's looking at how the young Star Trek crew came together.
Mm, right, yeah, very good film indeed. Okay, moving on to
Monday night, and a great favourite of mine, Trading Places, one of the best films of the 1980s, I think. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ralph Bellamy, Don Ameche, Denham Elliott, and James Belushi. It's a story of two billionaire brothers who decide that they're going to see what would happen. It's the Job story, in a way. See what would happen if their nephew didn't have all the advantages that he appears to have, and if they gave all those advantages to somebody else. Eddie Murphy is a beggar. And it's very funny and very clever, and again, quite a warm-hearted comedy.
Mm.
Tuesday night on Film 4, same time, 9 o'clock, is There's Something About Mary. This is a Farrelly Brothers film. You sort of know what you're going to get with those. Quite a gross-out, I think was the term that was coined for them. But again, it's quite a charming film in its way, although there are some incredibly gross moments. Cameron Diaz, Ben Stiller, Matt Dillon, and Lee Evans, our own Lee Evans, is in this.
Wow.
From 15 years ago now.
That's and scary, isn't
Cameron
it?
Diaz, very good light comic actress, really good.
Mm.
And then finally, on Wednesday night, another old favourite, 10:40. I didn't put what channel that's on. Oh, well, you'd have to sort of surf around. I think it's probably Film 4 again, but you might need to check that out in your listings magazine. Wednesday, The Witness, is on at 10:40 somewhere or another on a Freeview channel. This is about a Philadelphia cop who's assigned to protect an Amish boy who was the only witness to a murder, and it involves him, Harrison Ford, going undercover into the Amish community.
Wednesday night, 10:40 on Film 4?
Film 4, is that what you've got? Film 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was probably Film 4, but I haven't got it written down. Yeah, 10:40, Film 4. He goes into the Amish community where he meets Kelly McGillis, who you might remember from Top Gun, and Danny Glover is also there as well.
Yes, he was one of the corrupt cops, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah.
It's a very good story, and it's a nice look at the Amish community, directed by Peter Weir.
Mm, yeah. So
look at Hanging Rock.
Right, okay.
1985.
And Harrison Ford, I think, was this the only film he's been nominated for an Oscar for?
I don't know. I'll bow to your superior knowledge on that.
I don't think he won the Oscar, but I think he was certainly nominated for the Oscar for this one.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's not a great actor, is he?
Well, he's good at what he does. He's a great film star.
Yeah, that's probably fair enough. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that.
Although he never looks happy than when he's like cracking his whip and punching people.
Quite. Yeah, he's in a film with I can't remember the lady's name now, in Annie Hall, Diane Keaton,
right.
Where he plays a breakfast TV star, and it's a sort of comic role, and it's quite painful to watch. I think it's probably out on DVD or something at the moment.
Yes, I think I know the one you mean, but anyway, we're out of time. Thank you
okay.
very much, Simon, and of course this is all on the podcast along with a few extra bits as well. Thanks to everyone for the show, and we'll see you again next Monday.